Welcome to AI Research in Depth for the week to the 11th of July 2026. I'm Alex. Today we're looking at a research-heavy briefing with a very clear theme: AI is moving from raw capability into assurance. In plain language, it's no longer enough to ask whether a model can do something impressive. The bigger question is whether we can prove it is safe enough, monitor it, correct it, constrain it, and trust it inside real-world institutions.
And I'm Ingo. That theme matters because AI is spreading into healthcare, robotics, agriculture, scientific research, document processing, creative production, and emotionally sensitive applications. These are not toy settings. A mistake in a PDF parser can affect a loan decision. A mistake in an agricultural resilience model can influence policy. A mistake in a mental health chatbot can affect a vulnerable person. So the economic and social value of AI increasingly depends on whether the assurance layer is credible.
Exactly. The briefing's strongest signal is that safety, privacy, interpretability, unlearning, and domain-specific governance are converging into what you might call the real platform layer for AI. We often talk about foundation models as platforms, but in production the platform is also the evaluation harness, the audit trail, the monitoring system, the privacy design, the escalation policy, and the ability to remove or revise harmful behavior.
That is a big shift. In the earlier phase of generative AI, the central contest was model capability. Who had the best benchmark score, the largest context window, or the most fluent chatbot? Now the contest is moving to institutional trust. Can a hospital justify using this system? Can a bank audit it? Can a robotics company explain the safety case? Can a publisher prove that generated assets respect rights? These are the questions that determine adoption.
Let's start with healthcare, because the briefing highlights a paper called Alignment Plausibility, a new standard for assuring AI in healthcare. The key concern is that mental health LLMs may be optimized for engagement, while clinical care is supposed to optimize for welfare. Those are not the same thing. A system can be warm, responsive, and addictive, but still misaligned with what a clinician would consider safe or therapeutic.
That distinction is crucial. In economics, we would call this an incentive problem. If the business model rewards session length, user retention, or emotional dependency, then the product may appear successful while creating harm. In mental health, the danger is not just that the model gives one bad answer. It may subtly encourage a person to keep talking to the bot instead of seeking human help, or it may validate harmful patterns because that keeps engagement high.
The phrase alignment plausibility is useful because it asks for more than a snapshot test. It's not just, did the model answer 10 clinical safety questions correctly? It asks whether the system's design, incentives, evidence, evaluation, and monitoring make safe alignment believable. That's much closer to how safety cases work in aviation or medical devices.
And it generalizes beyond healthcare. Think about tutors, companions, customer service agents, workplace coaches, or sales assistants. If the system is optimized for satisfaction, time on platform, or conversion, that can conflict with the user's real interest. This is why welfare metrics need to be separated from engagement metrics. Otherwise, AI can become a very polished machine for manipulating attention.
The safety research in the briefing also moves inward. One paper, Mechanistic Interpretability of LLM Jailbreaks via Internal Attribution Graphs, looks at jailbreaks not just from the outside, but through internal model pathways. That matters because many current defenses are surface level, refusal templates, keyword filters, or external classifiers. Those can help, but they are often brittle.
So instead of asking only, what prompt caused the model to fail, researchers are asking, what internal computation led to the failure?
Right. Internal attribution graphs are an attempt to trace which parts of the model's computation contribute to a harmful or policy-violating response. If we can identify the circuits or pathways involved in jailbreak behavior, then in principle we can design better interventions. We could detect when a dangerous pathway is being activated, or distinguish between a robust refusal and a shallow pattern match.
That has governance implications. Regulators and institutional buyers may eventually want evidence that a system is not merely trained to say no in familiar situations, but has been examined for deeper failure modes. Of course, we should be careful. Mechanistic interpretability is promising, but it is not yet a universal X-ray machine for neural networks.
The briefing pairs that with another paper, Efficient Safety Alignment of Language Models via Latent Personality Traits. The idea seems to be that safety-relevant behavior might be shaped through compact latent traits, rather than through endless examples of safe and unsafe responses. If it works, that could make alignment more efficient.
But also possibly misleading. The term personality trait is convenient, but these are not human personalities. They are learned representations. If companies treat them as stable psychological properties, they may overestimate control. A model might look cautious in normal tests, but still fail under adversarial prompts or unfamiliar domains.
That connects to a vision paper in the briefing, Adversarial Decoys, Misdirecting Attention-Based Defenses in V. Vision transformers can be vulnerable to adversarial patches, and the paper shows that attention-based defenses can be misdirected. So if your defense watches where the model is paying attention, an attacker may design a decoy to manipulate that attention.
The broader lesson is that every defense can become an attack surface. If a safety mechanism has a predictable heuristic, adversaries can learn it. This is true in cybersecurity, finance, elections, and now AI safety. A serious assurance stack has to include adaptive adversarial testing, not just standard benchmark evaluation.
Another major assurance topic is unlearning. The briefing discusses multimodal unlearning across vision, language, video, and audio, a survey of methods, datasets, and benchmarks. Unlearning is the ability to remove targeted information, associations, or capabilities from a model after training. That could involve privacy, copyright, safety, or regulatory compliance.
And the multimodal part is essential. If a system has learned an association between a person's name, face, voice, and biographical details, removing only the text reference may not be enough. The model might regenerate the association through images or audio descriptions. So compliance cannot be siloed by modality.
Exactly. Product teams need to test whether removal works across text, image, video, and audio prompts. They also need to avoid collateral damage. A good unlearning method should remove the target without degrading unrelated capability too much. And it needs to avoid false assurance, passing a narrow test while failing in realistic prompting conditions.
This is where unlearning becomes infrastructure rather than a one-off feature. It touches data provenance, training records, retrieval systems, fine-tuning, logging, release management, and user rights. In regulated markets, companies will need to document what was removed, how it was tested, and what side effects occurred.
The briefing also includes a fascinating paper on adversarial social epistemology for assemblies of humans and large language models. That sounds abstract, but the idea is very practical. AI systems now participate in chains of knowledge. They summarize, cite, draft, certify, and repackage claims. So the safety unit is not just one model output. It's the whole human-AI communication system.
This is one of the most important social signals in the briefing. AI can accelerate what I'd call epistemic laundering. A weak claim appears in one document, an AI summarizes it fluently, another system cites the summary, a human approves it, and soon the claim looks institutionally validated. The original uncertainty disappears.
That is especially dangerous in enterprise systems using retrieval-augmented generation. If the source material is contaminated, outdated, or manipulated, the model may produce a confident answer with citations that look credible. So auditability has to include the provenance of assertions, not just final outputs.
For organizations, this means knowledge controls must evolve. Who introduced the claim? What source supported it? Was it transformed by a model? Did a human actually verify it, or merely approve a fluent summary? AI may increase productivity, but it can also increase the speed at which errors become official.
Let's turn to document intelligence. Infinity Parser 2 is presented as a large multimodal model for end-to-end document parsing, using controllable data synthesis and multitask reinforcement learning. This is very commercially relevant because so many workflows still depend on PDFs, scans, forms, invoices, tables, and reports.
Document AI is one of those unglamorous but economically huge areas. Finance, insurance, healthcare administration, logistics, procurement, legal operations, and government services all run on semi-structured documents. Better parsing can unlock automation at scale.
The technical direction is important. Controllable synthetic data helps address the scarcity of labeled document data. Documents vary in layout, fonts, tables, languages, scans, handwriting, and visual artifacts. Multitask reinforcement learning suggests the system is being optimized across several parsing subtasks rather than just extracting isolated fields.
But the risk changes. In older template systems, failures might be obvious because the field was missing. In newer foundation model pipelines, the system may silently misparse something while producing a clean structured output. That output can then flow into downstream analytics, compliance forms, or automated decisions.
So production evaluation has to include structural fidelity, table reconstruction, citation traceability, confidence calibration, and error detection. Teams should test scanned documents, adversarial formatting, multilingual content, handwriting, low-quality images, and domain-specific notation. Accuracy alone is not enough.
There is a similar productization story in 3D generation. DREAMCHARACTER1 is framed as moving from 3D generative foundation models to product-ready character generation. The key idea is a lightweight post-adaptation framework that calibrates pre-trained models toward production constraints.
That phrase, post-adaptation, is a big deal. Foundation models can generate impressive assets, but production teams need consistency, controllability, compatibility with tools, high fidelity, and predictable editing. In film, games, advertising, or virtual worlds, an asset has to fit a pipeline.
And the governance issues are serious. Character generation intersects with likeness rights, copyrighted styles, identity misuse, and unsafe content. The briefing notes that rights management and provenance controls are watch items. Production ready should not only mean beautiful geometry. It should also mean legally and ethically usable.
Now to robotics. The paper on time to collision-based dynamic obstacle avoidance using pre-trained vision models looks at outdoor robots in unstructured environments. It uses pre-trained vision models to help estimate when obstacles might collide with the robot's path.
That matters because robotics has always faced data problems. It is expensive to collect real-world robot data, simulation does not always transfer well, and outdoor environments have a long tail of weird situations. Pre-trained vision models could lower deployment costs.
But they should be treated as components, not complete safety cases. A vision model may perform well on average and still fail with unusual lighting, rain, reflective surfaces, animals, children, fast-moving objects, or partial occlusion. In robotics, a low-frequency error can still be unacceptable.
This is where operational design domains matter. A company must define where the robot is allowed to operate, under what conditions, with what fallback behavior. Runtime monitoring, conservative fallback policies, and incident review become part of the AI system.
The briefing also highlights embodied AI through ideobionics, the unification of privacy and intelligent robotic prostheses. Prostheses are not just connected devices. They are persistently coupled to the body. That makes privacy much more intimate.
Exactly. A smart prosthesis may infer movement patterns, fatigue, routines, disability-related information, environmental context, and even intent. The privacy issue is not only whether data leaves the device. It is about autonomy, dignity, and bodily integrity.
For builders, that points to local processing where possible, privacy-preserving adaptation, explicit data boundaries, user control over learning and resets, and careful telemetry policies. Security is also bodily safety here. A compromised prosthesis is not just an account breach.
Policy frameworks may need stronger categories for embodied AI. Conventional consumer privacy law may not fully capture persistent biological-digital coupling. The user depends on the system physically, not just informationally.
The briefing also moves into AI for science. Multi-agent autoformalization of tensor network theory describes specialized LLM agents working on research-level formalization in theoretical physics. Another paper, From Solvers to Research, looks at LLM-driven formal mathematics at the research frontier.
The key point is that AI is moving from solving bounded tasks to participating in scientific workflows. It may help translate informal expert reasoning into machine-checkable formal statements, decompose problems, search for proofs, and organize assumptions.
A multi-agent setup makes sense here. One agent might propose definitions, another formalizes them, another checks consistency, another searches for proof steps, and another summarizes gaps. But the danger is formal-looking error. A theorem can be perfectly checked and still not correspond to what the human expert meant if the definitions were misaligned.
That is an epistemic risk, not just a technical one. Scientific AI systems need traceability from informal claim to formal statement, versioned assumptions, proof-checking integration, and expert interfaces that expose uncertainty. The product is not simply an answer. It is a reasoning object people can inspect.
There are also foundation-level evaluation papers. The briefing mentions principled analysis of deep reinforcement learning evaluation and design paradigms. Reinforcement learning is increasingly relevant to agents, robotics, alignment, and multimodal optimization, but evaluation is fragile.
Weak RL evaluation can create false progress. Agents can exploit benchmark artifacts, overfit to environments, or show high variance across random seeds. If these systems are later used in real decision-making, poor evaluation becomes a deployment risk.
The briefing also mentions more foundational work like architecture generalization with meta-NCA and KYM representation formulations in classical mechanics. These may be longer term, but they show how AI research overlaps with self-organizing systems, scientific representation, and formal modeling.
And there is a language theory item about auto-generative theory and integrationism, which reminds builders not to treat language as a simple code for external reference. LLMs operate in social contexts. Meaning depends on use, interaction, institutions, and shared assumptions. That fits the broader theme. AI outputs are situated, not isolated.
Another high-risk cluster is effective AI. The briefing includes work on persona-based dialogue with dynamic emotional evolution, EEG-based emotion recognition with psychologically grounded labels, and disorder-like phenotypes in reinforcement learning agents. These are attempts to model emotion and mental health-related patterns more structurally.
The demand is obvious. People want emotionally intelligent tutors, companions, therapists, coaches, and interfaces. But effective AI carries a special danger. It can create false certainty about someone's inner state. It can over-personalize, manipulate, misclassify, or encourage dependency.
Emotional fluency is not clinical validity. A system can sound caring without understanding the person's situation. It can detect a pattern in EEG data without truly knowing a person's mental state. So these systems need consent, uncertainty expression, escalation paths, boundary management, and testing against harm scenarios.
This loops back to the healthcare alignment paper. If effective systems are optimized for engagement, realism, or emotional responsiveness, those objectives may conflict with welfare. That is why assurance in this domain must include human outcomes, not just user satisfaction.
Across all these papers, the benchmark agenda is broadening. It is not just average performance anymore. The briefing lists questions like, does the system fail safely under adversarial pressure? Can it unlearn targeted associations across modalities? Does it preserve unrelated performance? Can internal failure pathways be diagnosed? Are outputs traceable to sources and assumptions?
That is more expensive than traditional benchmarking, but it is also where defensible AI products will be differentiated. The companies that invest in assurance infrastructure will have an advantage in regulated sectors and high-stakes workflows.
Let's make that practical. The first builder implication is to design for assurance from the beginning. Data lineage, consent records, logging, model versioning, red team results, and unlearning hooks should not be bolted on after launch. They need to be part of the architecture.
Second, adaptation layers are strategic assets. Infinity Parser 2 uses synthetic data and reinforcement learning for document parsing. DREAMCHARACTER 1 uses post-adaptation for 3D character generation. The pattern is that base models provide broad capability, but production value comes from domain calibration.
Third, adversarial evaluation has to become normal development practice. That means testing the model, the guardrails, the retrieval layer, the user interface, and the organizational workflow. Attackers do not care which layer fails. They only care that the system fails.
Fourth, separate engagement metrics from welfare metrics. This is particularly important for healthcare, education, companions, and customer support. A long interaction is not automatically a good interaction. A satisfied user is not necessarily a helped user.
Fifth, prepare for cross-modal governance. If your product handles text, images, video, and audio, then safety, copyright, privacy, and unlearning all have to work across those modes. A text-only policy is not enough for a multimodal system.
Sixth, make epistemic provenance a product feature. Users should be able to see where claims come from, how they were transformed, and what confidence or certification attaches to them. This will matter in enterprise, science, policy, law, and healthcare.
The risk outlook is clear. The main technical risk is brittle assurance, defenses that work until attackers adapt. The main product risk is silent automation error, outputs that look structured and authoritative but contain hidden mistakes. The main social risk is epistemic contamination, AI systems accelerating the spread and laundering of weak claims.
And the main human risk cluster is effective and embodied AI. Mental health chatbots, persona agents, EEG emotion recognition, disorder-like agent models, and intelligent prostheses all touch vulnerable or intimate aspects of life. The risks include dependency, manipulation, privacy loss, misclassification, and erosion of autonomy.
So what should we watch next? First, whether alignment plausibility becomes a broader standard beyond healthcare. Second, whether mechanistic jailbreak research turns into operational tools for detection, training, or certification. Third, whether latent trait alignment can reduce cost without creating false confidence.
Also watch multimodal unlearning benchmarks, because they will become central to compliance. Watch document AI adoption, because it could unlock large enterprise automation markets. Watch production-ready 3D generation, especially rights management and pipeline integration. Watch embodied AI privacy in prostheses, wearables, neural interfaces, and assistive robotics.
And watch AI for science workflows. The big test is whether these systems preserve meaning, expose assumptions, and integrate with trusted formal checkers. If they do, they could become powerful research infrastructure. If they don't, they could produce polished confusion.
The bottom line is that AI is entering a phase where deployment quality depends on assurance depth. Bigger models and broader modalities still matter, but the real differentiator is whether behavior is inspectable, governable, reversible, private, domain-aligned, and robust under adversarial conditions.
Well said, the winners will be builders who treat safety, privacy, provenance, unlearning, and evaluation as core infrastructure. The laggards will ship capable systems that are difficult to certify, difficult to correct, and difficult to trust once failures occur.
That's the week's research signal. Assurance is becoming the platform layer. Not the decorative layer, not the compliance afterthought, the platform layer.
And that's AI Research in Depth for the week to the 11th of July 2026. Thanks for listening.